everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection podcast. So there's so much talk about arousal and high arousal and how to lower and manage it. But to be honest, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I'm going to actually do a little survey on Facebook, because I said to her, I feel like the majority of the dogs are probably not high arousal. The majority of dogs out there are probably low to moderate arousal. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should be talking more about helping those dogs, right? Like how to raise arousal when dogs don't innately have that magic switch that just spills into high arousal at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think my first dog that I trained was a breed dog, right? So he was just like a happy-go-lucky dog. And you could argue, right, in hindsight, he still probably could go into higher arousal more easily than a lot of other dogs. Because look, reality is what it is. It doesn't mean, you know, if you have a boxer, doesn't mean you shouldn't train it. But a boxer or a Rhodesian Ridgeback, mm-hmm, is not going, you're not going to get that dog looking like a high drive Golden or a Border Collie or, right, a high drive Field Lab, which isn't to say they shouldn't do it or they shouldn't work. It just gonna means you have to, they're going to look different and you have to do things differently, because they might not be that interested in food, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, my training partner uses like filet mignon, like literally. And even like, even then, he's like, oh, that's yummy. He's not like, oh my God. Like, I look at it sometimes, I'm like, dude, can I have some of that? Like, it looks really good. You know, the dog doesn't want to tug. Like, it has no interest in tugging, yeah, right, at all.
Right.
It has, yeah, you know, you're like, oh, it's a sight hound, lure coursing. Yeah, so-so. Like, yeah, I'll run after the bag, you know. Right. But he's not going to go super crazy about it. So, like, does it mean you shouldn't train them? Absolutely not. You, mm-hmm, should, right? Mm-hmm. But, A, you have to have realistic expectations, which, yeah, doesn't mean you should shoot low, because I'm like a huge proponent of, like, I am totally against saying, well, it's a Rhodesian, it can't do it. No, you should aim high,
yeah,
right? You should absolutely aim high and shoot for that, because you will get your dog so much further that way.
Yeah.
But you should also be realistic, right?
Right.
And you're going to have to be very creative.
Yep.
And think outside the box and say, okay, I think the first step is look at your dog in life. Like, what does your dog find interesting that gets their arousal up? Right.
Right.
Is it the mailman? Mm-hmm. Oh, do we still have mailmen or women? I don't know. The UPS, that's a big thing for my dogs. Yes, Amazon. You know,
delivery people in general.
Delivery people. So what is it that this dog finds exciting? Maybe it's a combination of certain food that you only use for training, right?
Yeah.
Then you have to kind of have a hierarchy too. Like, he has food that he uses for general training. And then he started using the dog's meals, because that is way more exciting for the dog for,
yeah,
certain aspects of training. Because if you use something all the time, it's like when I was young and I worked in a bakery. At first, I ate everything, like everything.
God.
Right? Because I'd get there at 6 in the morning and everything was just out of the oven. I was like, oh my God. And then to this day, I am completely uninterested in most baked goods because I eat too much of it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, because I tell people, like, if you hit your ceiling in the first 5 seconds, like, where are you going from there? And that's right. The same thing with, like, your, you know, whatever reinforcer you're using. Like, if you come out of the gate every time using the highest, most powerful thing, then where can you go beyond that? Like, you got to, then you got to be really creative.
Yeah. So you want to have a hierarchy and you want to think about how you're using it. It's also, you can also be creative with your delivery, right? So with Nathan, we do cookie tosses. Those are way more exciting than handing him a cookie, right? Like, I could just say yes and hand my dogs a piece of lettuce and they're super happy. Ain't gonna work for Mason, right? So we need, so cookie tosses, he finds very exciting. Now, again, we had to put that into the dog, right? So in other words, toss a cookie, Mason, 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 runs back, toss another cookie, Mason, 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 toss another cookie. So we just did that activity in isolation for weeks until that game became really fun for him. We didn't right away go, let's do it and now do something for the game.
Right.
We had to make the game valuable in and of itself.
Yeah.
First.
You got to like kind of manufacture that a little bit for the dog, for sure.
Right. And put that effort in. Like different, there are different games, like I think you've done this one, Lori, where the flit game, make this up. It's a Julie Flannery thing, I want to say, where you like, well, you do. I don't do it because my dogs would like eat my hands. But have you done that where you put the cookie down? Can you describe how you do that?
Well, I have a couple. Like one is I have the cookie in my right hand. My dogs find it really fucking fun. Like if I say yes, left, they have to like do a, like this choreographed little dance of turning left, going behind my back, getting a cookie. And then sometimes the reinforcer's on the floor. They find that really freaking fun, like where I give them that, their, that reinforcer placement delivery cue.
So do you say like floor and then you put it on the floor and then you say they don't know where it's going to be?
Yes. Yeah, so, like sometimes they do see it, like they know where it is. Sometimes like I'll kind of have it in my hand and as I'm coming in the ring I kind of toss it so they don't know it or where it is, and then I'll yes and then say game if it's a toy, and they fucking find that to be like awesome because then they spin off me looking for the toy, like they know it's on the floor somewhere, they get to go find it.
So it's a search component, right? Which some dogs might find fun.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So there's one where I think she puts the cookie down so the dog can't grab it. And then she's like ready, set. And then she like flicks it with her finger and it like goes off in one direction. And then she has another one. Then she flicks it in a different direction. But there's kind of this like anticipation component. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps the dog. Sometimes it's that.
Oh,
any second.
Yeah.
Any second. Yeah. Any second now, it's coming, right? Like, and it's unpredictable. So humans are so predictable. It can't be every time 2 seconds, because then that's predictable. Like, now I'm gonna flick it right away. Now I'm not. Am I? Now I'm gonna flick it.
Yeah.
And different directions, so it's like unpredictable. And again, you can't just take your dog into the kitchen, do it and go, yeah, no, that didn't work. Like, it's a game that you have to teach your dog, that you have to build value for that game first.
Yeah, because they have to learn. You know, it's like taking a bunch of kids and you're like, okay, we're going to play a new game today. Like, immediately when you start playing the game, they're not going to love it. Like, they have to kind of learn it. They have to kind of grow to like it, kind of thing, until after they've done it for a couple times. Then they're like, oh my God, I love that game. Let's play that game. It's the same idea. We have to do that.
Yeah.
With our dogs.
So you have to, so you could do it with food, like you could do it with a toy. Now, for example, maybe your dog doesn't want to tug, but maybe your dog likes chase. So what if you just take a flirt pole and you say yes, and then your dog gets to chase the flirt pole a little bit? Doesn't matter if it doesn't grab it and tug it. Who cares?
Yeah.
If they find that chasing reinforcing, then do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, like, you have to, you know, you have to kind of find that little, I always say, like, what's your dog's crack? Like, what's the thing that, like, your dog loves to do? And actually, a friend of ours, this is Debbie, with her little young, she's got standard schnauzers. She got Hawk, her female, and she literally, like, could not kind of find anything the dog wanted to do. I think we had talked about this. Mm-hmm. She had told you about it. And she just sat and watched her dog. She's like, I got to find out what this dog really likes to do. Like, toys were food. Half the time she doesn't even eat her meal. So that really wasn't a thing. And then so she was like, I'm just going to observe her with my dogs. I want to see how does she play with them? Like, she doesn't even want to play with me. How does she play with the dogs? Because she loves playing with her other dogs. And she could just see, like, she loved being really physical with the dog. So she's like, I'm going to be a dog and I'm going to try to play with her like my other dogs. And I'm going to get physical with her. And that is exactly what that dog loved to do with her. Like, and that's how she gets her. Like, they do like this little physical, you know, she's not like roughing her up or anything, but like she'll push her and she'll put her hands on her and the dog tries to bite her. And that's what she uses now. And it actually then morphed into the dog playing toys with her that way. So now the dog is toy motivated and will bring her a tug because that's how she started the whole thing. But it took a while. Like, you have to kind of experiment, see what your dog likes.
Yeah, and think outside the box and be creative, totally. Right? That's what I love about when Debbie, like, told me about that story that you just said. It's like that she didn't just give up.
Right.
She didn't go, oh, well, this is just how it is.
Yep.
She's like, first of all, she's like, I'm going to solve this problem. Right. And that's what dog training is all about. Again, there's no quick fix. It's how do I solve this problem? Being curious, being open-minded, and then observation. So important, right? She observed, what in life does my dog like? What in life does my dog do that puts them in the state that I want for training? Okay, now how can I leverage that so that I can do that with my dog, right? So I feel like if your dog loves running through tunnels or loves jumping, right, you could send your dog through tunnels or have your dog do a bunch of jumps. Your dog thinks that's super fun, right? Okay, now let me do two or three jumps. Now your dog's like, oh, that was really fun. Well, let me say, sit, down, stand. Yet, go do some more jumps. So now the arousal from the jumps or the arousal from the tunnel, right, spills forward into the behaviors you want to do. And then you're immediately going to send your dog back to do that activity again. Now those feelings, those chemicals, that arousal is going to just go into the behaviors you're doing with your dog.
Right.
And then eventually those behaviors, absent the jumps, are going to bring those same feelings and that same arousal. Right.
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of stringing it together.
Yeah. Pairing it. I always say pair. It's like kind of pairing it. I always say like, I always try to explain it as like, if, you know, when we go to the dentist as kids, we walk in the door and we have already like, what? We have those negative options.
The sound and the smell.
Right? Because you have all those attachments to it. But if we had gone to the dentist, you know, and every experience was like, here's your bowl of candy, we're going to color, we're going to do this, like you would have a totally different emotional response to that. So it's just that pairing effect that you're talking about, like when you're stringing it together so that eventually that behavior from the spillover, from the tunnel jumping and the jumps, the dog now has that paired to the behaviors that you kind of linked after doing all those things.
Yeah. And I think people are always like too hasty, right? So yeah. They're like, oh, look, that works. Now let me do stand down, spin and 13 yeah. other things. And then the dog gets flat. And then they're like, oh, yeah, this didn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's that is 0 to 100. You know?
Right. Because you have to be really patient. Like I would imagine that it took Deb quite a long time. Yeah. Like, I'm sure she didn't say, oh, this is how my dog likes to play. Okay. And then yeah. she plays like the dog with the dog like that. And then magically the next day she can go and train and use that as a reinforcer. And now all her problems are solved. Right. Like, I would imagine it took her probably, if I had to guess, at least weeks, if not months. I would guess months if I had to lay money on it.
Yeah.
To like establish the relationship and then to make that behavior reinforcing and then to do it consistently and then to little by little bring yep. a little bit of work into it and then a little more work into it and then a little more yep. and then slowly build it up over time. Right. That's where people really fall short is they're just in such a rush and, yeah. you know, they're watching everybody else. And look, you have what you have in front of you,
yeah.
not what everybody else has. Right. So you need to go at that dog's pace to get to where you want to go. Otherwise, yeah. you're just going to set yourself up for failure and you're never going to get anywhere. So, you know, you're better off going slow and taking your time.
Right.
And then some dogs like Zeal, holy Hannah, when he learned things, he, God, it was painful. Like if I tried to raise his arousal at all and teach him something, he was like, nope, can't do it. Nope, can't do it. So I would teach him something and it was like watching paint dry, so slow, right? Like I was like, I wanted to poke my eyeballs out.
Well, then that's where it gets hard because we don't like what we're seeing as we're teaching. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that gradual gradient, you know, uphill struggle to like get the dog. Like, and sometimes it is that slow, like with Debbie. Cool. And you don't like what that looks like. It doesn't feel good, but you have to be patient, you know,
no.
be patient and give it time. I always say, just let it marinate, keep at it, keep cooking it. It'll come.
Yeah. And we were taught, like I was originally taught, right? Oh, it has to be fast when you teach it or right. it will be slow forever. Wrong. Couldn't yeah. be more wrong. Because finally, I was like, whatever. Okay, fine. It is what it is. I'll just teach it to him. This is his style. I can't, you know, I'm just going to let it go. Yeah. And it was like eventually as he got more and more confident, he would get a little bit faster and then a little bit faster and then a little bit faster. And then over time, he got really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to be patient and it did come as he got more confident. But when he was not confident, I could not force that on him. All it was doing was adding pressure, mm-hmm. right? And I think the other thing people do is they get a little desperate, right? We get desperate. Come on, buddy, let's go. You can do it. Yeah. Oh God. And if you, again, observation,
yeah,
look at the dog's going like, like it's looking away. Its body's slinking. Its eyes are realized. Like it's not comfortable with that. It's right. perceiving that as pressure. So we think we're like cheerleading the dog and helping the dog and like, yes, you can do it. And the dog's like, oh God. And yeah. well, you're doing the opposite inadvertently. You're adding pressure and you're making the dog even more flat.
Yep. Yep. for so sure.
You have to, and like, I see, I'm very, I'm a lot of dog. Like, I'm a lot of dog. Like, so I'm like, so when I do a seminar, like with my dogs, well, I couldn't do this with Zeal, but with my other dogs, I'm like, yes, wow, buddy, that's amazing. I'll take someone's dog, right? And I'll say, well, your dog worked for me. Yeah, okay, I'll take the dog. I'll show the dog. The dog does it. I go, yes. And the dog's like, ah. And yep. I'm, oh, sorry, buddy. Sorry. Sorry. I overdid it. Sorry. I just freaked you out. The dog's like, holy, the dog's like a pancake on the ground. Like this woman's.
Totally. Terrible. That happened to me at camp. And I was like, let me see your Aussie. And I was like, I got over the top. And I actually like went to go like give it like, you know, it's like football players when they slap you on the ass, you know? So I like went out and did that to the dog. Holy shit. I felt so bad because the rest of the fucking weekend, the dog would see me and like hide me.
Yeah. The dog's like, dude, you're a lot. You're terrifying.
You're way too much.
Yeah. So with Zeal, so I wanted him to tug. He would not tug. He was like, dude, I'm like, he wouldn't even like, he was so, I was just, so I had to learn to be a very quiet, like shut the hell up. Okay. Yeah. I had to lower my energy, which was super hard, like really low energy. So the way I taught him to tug, which by the way, took like 8 months. Okay. Was I had to turn my back to him. I could not even face him. Turn my back to him and held my arm way out behind me with the toy. And then I would just like move the toy. And if he just like put his mouth on it, I would immediately like stop moving and ever so slightly gently just do a steady little pull. Yep. And then that was it. And so I would take him out before I even trained or did anything in the morning when he was fresh. And I would just do that a few times. And if I made a tiny, teeny little bit of progress, I would stop. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go for more. I'm going to go for more because I would lose him. And then he'd be like, I'm out. So I was like, I'm just going to do a teeny, tiny little bit, go for a teeny, tiny little bit of progress, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Like tiny bit. And then he would hold it just a little bit longer. And I couldn't go yes or good or anything because he would drop it. So I would just say nothing. Yeah. Right. And I would just low energy and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And then I would eventually like bring my arm a little bit closer to my body and it's still no eye contact because eye contact is confrontational to him. And he'd be like, I'm out because he was too soft, too respectful. He'd be like, oh, I'm out. Okay, I'm done. Right now, this dog will full frontal. He will put his front paws on me, wail into me, steal the toy, bite me, full on frontal tug with me. I can like tug and take my other hand and like hit his body, push his, like try to push his head off the tug.
Yeah.
But holy cow, that took an enormous amount of work.
Yeah.
But it was worth it, right? Yeah. Like,
work.
And that's what people have to understand. Like you have to be willing to put that time and effort in and you will get what you want, right?
Well, like you put it as a challenge. Like I think of those things as a challenge, you know, like, like how can I get this dog to tug? Because people are like, oh, you're not going to get that dog to play. That dog's not going to want to play. Well, that right there is like fuel to the fire for me, you know, like, let's see, well, can we do it? And that's the thing, like however long it takes, but you do have to do it super incrementally. And one of the big things I always tell people, like when you're doing stuff like that with the dogs, especially with the play stuff, is you just want to do it in small pieces. And you have to, like, I always say, like, you end the game before the dog does. Like, that's a big one. Even if you get like 2 seconds of the dog engaging on the tug or whatever with you at the play, just be like, okay, buddy, that was it. All done. Leaving them kind of wanting more. That's a big one.
Huge. It's huge. Yeah. And then the other thing is too, like you could get help. For example, I got a lot of help just in general on tug and from ring sport people. Right. So back in the day, this goes to show how old I am. There was a DVD on how to teach your dog how to tug. And there were so many valuable things in there. Like, don't push the toy towards the dog. There are no suicide rabbits was the quote, right? The rabbit doesn't jump into the dog's mouth. That's like if you push the toy towards the dog, or sometimes if you go to play with your dog and you move towards your dog, you're going to push your dog away from you. Right. So you need to like turn your head away, turn your eyes away, turn your body away.
Yeah.
So you're taking pressure off the dog to invite the dog like into your space. How to use the flirt pole to get your dog to want to bite onto it. And then how to get your dog to stay holding onto it. Like you may need to go to somebody or, you know, now there's online stuff on how to do that. And then maybe still that method, maybe you could only use pieces of it, right? So again, like you have to be willing to experiment and watch your dog and see, okay, for this dog, like what pieces of this is going to work for this dog?
Yep.
And what pieces are not, right?
Yep.
Some dogs like to chase you, right? They might like it if you're like ready, set, and then you run away.
Yeah.
I tried that with Zaina. She just stands there and watches me go like.
Bye, bitch.
It's hilarious. She's like, uh-huh.
Yeah,
well, I don't
know. See you later.
But yeah. Zia loved it. Like Zeal thought that was really fun. So I'd be healing him and I'd go.
Yeah.
Three, two, three, and then I'd like take off and run, and he's like, "Ah, where are you going?" And he thought that was like really fun. Zaina just literally like stops healing and watches me run, and she's like,
"Yeah." I mean, the laugh because I can like see that. Yeah, yeah, you know, and you do. You have to kind of find like how they like to play. Like Ever loves to pretend like she's gonna kill me. Like I have to be I pretend to be afraid of her. I pretend like she's like I'm afraid she's gonna bite me. Like she fucking loves that. Like she'll corner me in the bathroom and I'll act like she's gonna like kill me. Oh my God, it sends her like so jacked up because, you know, that's just like what she likes to do.
Well, think about it. You're being prey, right?
Yeah.
Dogs are prey animals. So the problem is humans like to play like Rottweilers, right? Yeah. Like,
oh, I'm getting it. Come on, buddy. Let's play.
Holy Hannah. Like that's, you're basically saying the dog, I want to fight you.
Yeah.
And most dogs are going to be like, I'm out. Like I'm a polite dog. Like you're telling me to back off. I'm going to do exactly what you say. I'm out.
Right. Right?
Prey. And that's what they were saying with the suicide rabbits, right? Like don't go towards the dog, like run away. And like with ring sport people, like when the dog first bites, they'll go like, and they'll like fall to the floor. Like you got me, you killed me, you won, you won.
Yeah.
It's not a competition. Like it's not, we're not competing with the dog. It's let the dog win.
Yep.
And think they got you. They caught you. That's what's going to raise their confidence.
Right.
Right. That's what's going to, now I should put a caveat here, right? If you're playing a game and you're acting like you're prey and your dog's actually trying to kill you.
Yes. It's a whole nother episode.
But we're talking about dogs that like, you know, don't get on the floor with your dog for God's sakes, people. Like get on the floor. Like, you know, when you go to do yoga or you sit on the floor for something, what happens? They immediately come over to you.
Yeah, totally.
Right? The dogs immediately come up to you and they're like, hey, what you doing down here?
Yeah.
You're on my level.
Yep.
They immediately, every time, guaranteed, if I did it right now, if I got on the floor, my dogs are all on their bed sleeping, I promise you they're going to come over.
Yeah.
And be like, what are you doing down there? And they want to play.
They do.
Bow.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So get on the floor with your dog and see, like, how does your dog like to play on the floor?
And you need to be genuine. Like, this is a big thing too. Yeah. Like, you can't, they freaking call you out. They know when you're really not into it. Like, my dogs do. I mean, you know, not
no, they
every,
all do.
Hey, like, my dogs are like, dude, you aren't even like fucking concentrating on this game. And they're like, I'm out.
That's why if you're trying to force it, you turn them off, right? Because they know it's not genuine. And then they're like, this is weird, right? Yeah. I don't like it. So that's why, like, with praise, a lot of times people are praising their dogs and the dog doesn't even like it because they're not being genuine. Like, my dogs like my praise, although, like, with Zeal, I had to tone it down. But even still, like, he liked my praise because it was always genuine. Like, I can't help it. I get excited. To this day, decades later, my dogs do things and I get so excited and it is genuine. Yeah. I'm not faking it. I'm like, oh my God, good job. That was, and they know it's genuine and that's why they like it.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to be honest. Cause, like, I mean, geez, we're the same way, for God's sakes, right? If you're around someone that's being all fake and weird, you're uncomfortable. You're like, what is wrong with this person? Just be normal. Like, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's true, though. Like,
it is. Oh, I'm just laughing because, I like, you know, there's time. Like, we always say to each other, like, don't be a fucking weirdo. Like,
don't be a weirdo. Just be normal. Weirdo. Like, don't be weird around me. Just be normal. Like, nobody wants anybody being weird. Just be normal. And the interesting thing to me is there are so many parallels in dog training to human on human interaction. Mm-hmm. But for some weird reason, we don't transfer that to the animals, right? Like, there are so many things. Like, if I just walked up to you and, like, if a stranger walked up to you in the street and went to, like, touch you, that would freak you out.
Yeah.
Yet we expect our dogs to stand there and let a stranger come up to touch them. And we get annoyed when the dog doesn't like it or is uncomfortable with it. And we can't understand why the dog doesn't like it. It's like, what? How can you not understand?
Right.
It's exactly the same, right? So just like when you do things with your dog, like a classic one is people want to praise their dog and they lean over the dog and they like bend over the dog. And very few dogs like that, right? Yeah. And people like don't understand that. Well, if you're sitting in a chair and I walk and I loom all over you and I'm all over you, like, at some point, it just gets uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you're like, okay, enough already. Like, even if you're an affectionate person, at some point, you're going to be like, all right, enough already. Like, it gets, there was this weird thing. This, years ago, a friend of mine, there was like a study or something where he's like, you know, I don't remember if it was a good thing or a bad thing to hug another person for, like, I don't remember the details. Let's say it's 20 seconds.
Oh, God.
So we did this experiment, right? Like, we were really good friends, traveled together all the time, whatever. So I'm like, I don't know, man, that sounds like a long time. And he's like, right? And I'm like, all right, let's try it. Cause I'm a weirdo. I'm like, oh, this is really, really uncomfortable. And then of course we thought it was funny. So we're like, all right, let's like try this on different people, you know? And there was like, it was the end of the day, our dogs had qualified. We were really happy. Our trainer was there. We looked at each other and we're like, we're going to do it. So she didn't even want us to fucking hug her at all. She was like, dude, get off. Right. So like, it was just a just perfect example of like,
yeah,
you know, how many people could you go up to and hug? And then how many of them could you hug for that long?
Right.
Like, even somebody I really like and I want to hug, there's a length of time where at some point it's like, okay, we're past the point here. Let's enough for it. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, why is it any different for our dogs? And do dogs even hug each other? No, maybe they lay on top of each other, but like, right. That's a human thing. Now, there are exceptions. Zesty's a weirdo. Like, he loves to he will actually come and put his paws on my shoulders and come in, and he wants me to hug him because I do it and I let go and he doesn't move. He pulls me in more. He likes
it. Yeah, that's salty too. He loves that.
The only dog that I like, try and do that with Zayna, she'll fucking bite me. Like, she will be irate. All right, that would be, oh my God. Try and do that with Zeal. He's like, because he's polite. He's very polite, right? And then he's like, all right, enough already. Like, but he's just tolerating it. He doesn't enjoy it. He's right. Politely tolerating it to a point, and then he's like, get off, right? I remember in Novice, he finished this run and I loved it. I was so happy. I had it on video at the time. And I was like, so it was like exercise finished after the recall. This was before we had the sit stay thing. And I bent down to hug him and he jumped away from me and just looked at me like, I'm glad you're happy, but you really don't need to do that, Mom. Like, it was so crystal clear. Like, I wish I still had that video, right? So read your audience, people. Like, totally. Do what the dog likes. Don't do what you like, what you want, what makes you happy.
Yeah. Find out what the dog likes.
Find out what the dog likes. And then even,
and that's a big one. Like, I asked that to a lot of people. I'll be like, what does your dog like to do? And they really, a lot of them don't know. They're like, I don't know. They like when I give them cookies. And see, that's a little, like, that's where you have to be playing detective and watching your dog and experimenting with things, because, you know, the cookies are great when, you know, that's a whole nother thing that we talk about as a reinforcer. But you really, you know, there's that interaction piece, like, that you can use to pair with other your behaviors that you're putting into obedience. Like, you got to find what your dog likes to do, for sure.
Yeah. And even if it's something like, you know, my dog like gets excited when we go out the door. Well, then good. Then get ready to go out the door. Ask your dog to do 3 or 4 behaviors and then go out the door.
Yeah.
And then next, you know, and then over time, ask them to do a little bit more and then go out the door. So you can pair those things. That's, you know, that's one thing to do the reinforcer. But I also really like to make myself part at some point, make myself part of the reinforcer. Like, if I just say yes to my dogs, like, they get so excited, and it's not just about the cookie or the toy. And at some point, I interject myself too, right? So, well, even if I tug with my dogs, I'm part of that. I don't do the mindless tugging thing. Like, I'm looking in their eyes. I'm talking to them. And we're interacting, and they like that. Like, Zayna used to, her favorite thing was party of one, right? Take the toy and run. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. So I was like, you're going to learn to tug with me and like it. So I would, she likes to win, right? So I would tug, and I'd go, ah, oh, you got, and I'd like loosen up my arm, like she pulled me off balance.
Yeah. Right?
And then I'd be like, oh, you're so strong. Look at, and she'd be like, yes, I am. I am very strong. I'm like, you are, you're stronger than me. But like, I made myself part of that. So I figured out, I'm like, oh, she likes to win. Okay, I'm going to let her win. She likes to feel like she can overpower me. I'm going to let her overpower me. Right. Zesty, he's a weirdo. He doesn't even care about the tugging part. So I tugged, and I don't even know how I figured, again, just playing around, experimenting.
Right.
If he has a toy in his mouth and I like hit him in the head.
God.
He loves that. And I look at him and I'm like, I'm going to hit you in the head. I'm going to put your head away. And he's like, he loves that. And like, he looks at me in the eyeballs. He's like, do it again.
And, right.
Right. So like, yes, I could just tug with him. And yes, he likes that. But he likes that other thing more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like it because it like now I'm touching him and now I'm part of it. And now he's coming up to me and going, do that game. And you know what? How I know he loves it? Because when I hike now, he has his bumper in his mouth and he'll run and then he'll come up and he'll start going next to me, looking at me. He looked right into my eyeballs, right? And he's like, come on, do that thing. And I go, you want me to push you? And he's like, yeah, I love that.
Yep.
In the middle of a hike, he wants me to do that. That's how much he loves it.
Yeah.
Right? So if I just did traditional tug, if I wasn't constantly like experimenting,
right,
I wouldn't have figured out that this weirdo likes when I do this wacky thing. But I like it because now I'm part of it. So now what I'm starting to do is I'm doing it without the toy.
Yeah.
I'm just like pushing his head and pushing his head. And so now it's just me and you, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's a work in progress because like then he wants to like bite my arm and that's not comfortable. So I have to like modify, you know, I'm trying to.
Yeah, you got that like.
But it's an experiment. It's like, okay, what do you like and how can I make myself?
Yeah, and this is like this. You're talking about this with a dog who's 5, that they're going to be 6 in the spring. Like these aren't just like dogs we just got, you know, like we're constantly looking for more ways to like interact and engage. We're, you know, the things that the always looking for the things that the dogs really like and love, right? And that's the thing. And like when you find those little things, because there's more in there that we're going to discover, like you just did with Zesty, right? And then you're going to be like, oh, well, maybe I can do it this way. And maybe I can now do it without the bumper or the tug. Like that's where like I'm always going with my brain, you know, like constantly playing with my dogs, being in that moment, trying to rediscover anything new that, wow, my God, I didn't even know my dog liked to do that 8 years later.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is, it's a, you know, when people talk about the word relationship with a dog, I think a lot, and this is what I used to think. I used to think it's like, well, I love my dog.
Yeah.
And I feed my dog and I pet my dog and I take my dogs for walks and hikes and I do things with my dog and that's my relationship. Mm-hmm. But for training, I think it has to go to a completely different level. And that
way deeper
is where like I'm at with the dogs now. It's like, well, a huge part of a relationship is two things. One is listening, right? Yeah. And we are not good listeners. Like listening, not hearing what you want to hear or seeing what you want to see, is listening to the dog. And then seeing the dog for who the dog is and what the dog wants and likes, not what you want and like and where you think it should go, right? Like that's a real relationship.
Well, and it's that like it just runs so much deeper and the relationship is really getting to know your dog, right? And it's kind of like Like, I'll just use you and I. Like, we've gotten to know each other pretty well. Like, I know you pretty well now. Like, I can kind of like look across the room now and like you'll look at me and I know exactly what you're thinking. Like, mm-hmm. I can kind of like, I can read you. I can kind of be like, oh yeah, I know.
But it grows over time.
And that's like, that's the same thing with my dog. Like, my dog, like, they can look at me. I can look in their eyes. Like, I can kind of start to read like what mm-hmm. they're thinking. They can, that's all through all this discovery of what they love. And that's that deep relationship stuff. That's why, that's what I always think of it as, like,
and listening and learning, right? And just going, oh, I know. Yeah. Like, I can look at Zane and I, but all my dogs, like, yeah. At a certain point in our relationship, like, I know what they are thinking.
Yeah.
All the time. And like, well, my dog's communication is so good, but I'm like, is it their communication is good? Or is it that I'm just listening, right? Like, they can look at me and I'm like, oh, you're thirsty.
Yeah.
Oh, you're hungry. Oh, you want this. Oh, you need that. Or, oh, yeah. And like, if someone stood on the outside, they'd be like, well, how do you know that? Right. Yeah. Well, because I'm always observing. I'm always paying attention. I'm in life, in everyday life, in training. All I do is observe. It's not me dictating this is what happens. It's like, it's read, react, like read the dog. And it's constantly saying like, can I know you even better? Like, can I make this better? And a lot of what they like, it's in life, right? Like, Zaina, who she is in training is who she is in life. Who Zesty is in life is who he is in training.
Yeah.
So if we just really, really get to know them in life, then you can apply that to training and it's going to really help your training a lot. Those are not two completely separate, isolated things, right? Yeah. Like, who I am as a person at home is who I am at work.
Right.
Is who I am when I hang out with people, is who I am at a dog show. Like, I am who I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm two completely different people.
Right.
No.
Right.
And our dogs are exactly the same way. So when it comes to raising arousal, I think it's don't limit your dog. Don't label it. Yeah. Think outside the box.
Yeah.
Watch your dog in life. Be creative. You know, talk to other people. Try different things. Like, there are people now that teach classes on play.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you watch other people, you might get ideas, right? Like, I'll see somebody else training and I'll be like, oh, I wonder if my dog would like that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
Well, try it. Let me see if you like this. You know, I like Fenzi had this camp thing and I went and sat in on a bunch of other lectures because I'm like, oh, maybe there'll be something in here that I can try with my dogs. Cause I'm always thinking like, you know, is there a way that I can get more out of the dog, you know, and you want to insert yourself into that relationship. Like, the people that, so one of my training partners, like, she has two dogs, same mate, litter mates that she trained. She's crazy. But anyway, they both retired now. And like, so she was, we were having this conversation because she was trying to explain like why she's really struggling with retiring them. And I said, it's because you miss them. And she looked at me and she's like, yes.
Aww.
But she's with them all the time. I said, I know why you miss them, because I'm like that. Like, if I don't, let's say my dog's injured or I don't train them, I feel like I miss them. They're with me 24/7.
Yeah.
What do I miss? It's that conversation. We're having this intimate interplay, like this intimate conversation when we're training. It's why Zeal is 13 and a half and he wants to train. He doesn't want me to throw cookies down for him. He wants a turn.
Yeah.
And he gets a turn because he wants me to tell him this is fascinating. He doesn't. Now, let's say I do fronts with him and they're crooked. He doesn't want me to just go, yep, you're right, you're right, you're right. I go, uh-uh, fix it, fix it. He freaking loves that. Loves it, right? I'm like, fix it, fix it. And he's like, yeah, I look. And then I'm like, you did it. And then he loves that praise. He loves that interaction, that conversation to this day, 13 and a half. That is what he wants. I throw him a pile of cookies because I'm being lazy. He'll eat them. He comes right back. He's like, nope, that was not good enough. I want to train. I go, all right, come on, let's do some training, right? He doesn't want me to just go, you're right, you're right. He wants that interaction.
Yeah.
And then he wants that praise. Like, I give him the toy and then I'm like, look at you. I did this yesterday. It is the cutest thing in the world. I'm like, you are a hotshot. And I'm yelling at him the whole time. You're so good. You're so, and he's parading around and he's running and he's throwing his chest out. He's so proud of himself, right? He wants that to this day. And that's because we built such a powerful relationship in training.
That's the key.
He wants that to this day as part of his life.
And that's like exactly what you just said. Like, that's my goal with my dogs, you know, that powerful relationship that's built. That's what that's that foundation piece that's the most important thing to me. Like, even with the puppy, like I just talked about this, like, I don't, you know, yes, we're teaching skills, we're teaching behaviors, but I am like so focused on just building that relationship, building all that stuff, finding out exactly what that dog likes, what he's gonna, you know, what he just loves to do with me. That's just the big part for sure.
Yeah. So that's really what the relationship is, right? Is like understanding that dog, understanding what that dog likes, what that dog thinks, how that dog learns. Like, my dogs are so different.
So different.
Like Zane and Zesty, polar opposites. Zeal, completely different.
Yeah.
I have to train them differently. I have to say things differently. I have to be different. I have to think different. Like, everything is different. Like, I literally have to like get the dog out and then give myself a minute and go, okay, this dog, okay, right. This, like, and shift my whole demeanor, my whole mindset, everything for this dog and go, okay, this is how I have to be, right? Because they're individuals and I cannot, like, if I want to have a good, strong relationship with that individual, it's just like people with different children. You have to parent them differently. Like, they're different. They're unique beings. Yep. You know, they process things different. They learn differently. They like things differently. Their emotions are different. Like, everything is different. Right. So you really want to build that relationship and understand that dog, you know. And when I have a student and they say to me, and I say, maybe like, try this, and they go, well, this dog is like this, I am going to respect that 100% of the time. And I'm going to go, all right, then we're not going to do that. We're going to do something different.
Right.
Because you know your dog, and I want you to know your dog, and I respect that you know your dog, and you should know your dog, right? Yep. And that's the most important foundational piece. And if you have that, then you can build behaviors on top of that. But if you don't have that, you're going to be struggling.
Yeah.
And not just with arousal and with, you're just going to be struggling, period, right? And but if you understand that dog,
And it takes a lot of work. Like, you're going to have to put some work into it. Like, with any relationship, right? There's going to be work involved. Same thing with your dog. Like, don't give up when, like, the first thing that you try doesn't work. And then you're going to throw the towel in. And then, you know, you got to work.
Yeah. And understand your breed. You know, certain breeds have certain tendencies. Like, one of the nicest things that one of my students said recently, it made me so happy. So she, first of all, I give huge, huge respect for anyone training non-traditional breeds, right?
Yeah, same.
My pet peeve is when they train them and they're constantly like complaining about it. And this person doesn't. She has a terrier, all right? The work she does with this dog, it is so beautiful. You have no idea. But this woman works. And she used to get really frustrated, right? And recently she said something along, I'm paraphrasing, along the lines of like, you know, I understand that I need to keep working on this, right? So he's a terrier. He will periodically just be like, I'm off because I smell something and I need to go investigate this corner, let's say, right? Yeah. Now it's gotten massively better, like massively better. And she said to me recently, I understand that this is something I'm going to need to work on forever, and I'm fine with that. But I also understand that he is a terrier and that there may be times when no matter what I do, he is just going to go off because he thinks something's over there.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. And like, I still get choked up by that.
Yeah.
Because that was such a huge turning point for her, because it's in my mind, because she's like, I understand
this
animal.
Right.
And I respect who this animal is.
Yeah.
And I am going to work on it. And I personally think it's going to completely go away because it's gotten immensely better. But she's like, it's okay if it happens.
Yeah.
Because this is who my partner is.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's amazing. And she's just doing such amazing work with this dog. And it's just because she keeps at it and she's persistent and she like understands him, and she's worked really hard to understand him and, you know, to harness what he does and doesn't like, what motivates him, what doesn't motivate him.
Yeah.
And it's just hard, hard work. Just like my training partner with his Rhodesian. You know, he understands that he has to work 10 times as hard as me to achieve certain things. And he's okay with that because he's like, he doesn't use it as an excuse, like as a crutch, like, woe is me. Like, no, but he understands, like, he does not have a field lab. Right. And he's like, so therefore, I must do things differently. I must work harder. And the work he has done with this dog, it's unbelievable. I mean, this dog does some absolutely beautiful work, and it's intact, for God's sake.
I know.
God help me.
He's done amazing.
But the work, you know, and he just takes a licking and keeps on. He just keeps working.
And he keeps going.
Keeps going, keeps working, keeps trying.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is not a dog that's food motivated. This is not a dog that's toy motivated. Quite frankly, the dog works, and here this circles right back to relationship. This dog's highest value reinforcer is Carl.
Yeah.
Praise. Sure. That man telling him, that's a good job, buddy. Wow, that was really good. That's the really, at the end of the day, the dog's highest value reinforcer. And that speaks to their relationship, right? That the two of them have established, that this dog is working primarily for him.
Yeah.
You know, and that did not just happen. like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. But it's that attitude of like, I know what I have. I know what I'm dealing with. I'm going to do my very best. I'm just going to keep working at it. And
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Keep at it, people.
So keep at it. Yep.
And listen and observe.
Yes. Yes. And work hard.
Yeah, and we're going to have some, we've talked about this before, we've had so many guests recently, but down the road, we're going to definitely have people on here with non-traditional breeds, right?
For sure.
And like, pick their brains on, you know, what have they done? Like, what strategies are they doing and they're using?
That'd be great.
Because there are people, not a lot, but they're out there with these non-traditional breeds and, you know, they're doing a really, really impressive job with them.
For sure.
There are a bunch of them at the Classic this year.
A lot. It was great.
Yeah, it was really, really exciting and very impressive. So stay tuned. That'll be
coming up.
Coming up down the road. And there's like always so much. Like, why is there always so much to talk about?
We love talking about it.
So much. All right. That's it. Happy training, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.